In India, more than 1,000 people, mostly Muslims, were killed during communal riots earlier this year. The situation is still tense. Police fear more violence when Hindu pilgrims march through Muslim neighborhoods on Friday. More than 120 million Muslims live in India. After Indonesia, it's the world's second largest Muslim population. In the second part of our series on India's Hindu-Muslim divide, NPR's Eric Weiner reports on the Muslim perspective.
India has always prided itself on its secular identity. Hindu, Sikh, Christian, or Muslim, all Indians are equal under the Constitution. Muslims in particular have reached the very pinnacle of Indian society. Two of India's presidents were Muslim. India's richest man, the software mogul Aziz Premji, is a Muslim. So are some of the country's best-known film stars. Shah Rukh Khan is a household name. Millions of Indians watch his campy musicals. The fact that Khan happens to be a Muslim hardly mattered, at least not until recently. Life for India's Muslims has taken a turn for the worse since September 11th, and more recently since the showdown with Pakistan, a tense standoff that nearly led to war last month. Seema Mustafa, an acerbic newspaper columnist, says she used to receive hate mail from readers angry at what she wrote.
But today I get letters beginning with the fact that I'm a Muslim and then going on from there as to why they don't like what I write. It's the same stuff all over and over again. Why doesn't she, being a Muslim, condemn the Al-Qaeda? Why doesn't she speak against the Taliban? Why doesn't she say this? And all not because the hate mail is not coming because of what I'm writing, but because of the fact that I have a Mustafa name, which identifies me as a Muslim.
Mustafa's experience is mild compared to what happened to the nearly 1,000 Muslim victims of the recent riots in Gujarat, India, or the thousands more who died 10 years ago after Hindu extremists destroyed the Babri Masjid, a mosque that they say was built on a sacred Hindu site. India's Muslims have always lived under a veil of suspicion, but now more than ever, their loyalties are being called into question. Are they Indians first and Muslims second, or the other way around? Saeed Shahabuddin, head of the All India Muslims Association, says it depends on the situation. If, for instance, the Babri Masjid mosque is demolished, he says,
I'm first a Muslim, a second a Muslim, last a Muslim, always a Muslim. But when my country is under attack from Pakistan, then I am an Indian first, an Indian second, an Indian last, an Indian ever. So it is the situation which determines how you react.
Shahabuddin blames the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, for the recent rise in Hindu-Muslim tensions. He says the Hindu nationalists currently in power have made a farce of India's secular heritage. BJP officials deny any anti-Muslim bias. They say they're merely trying to protect India from Islamic militants, like the ones who attacked the Indian Parliament building last December. R.K. Goel, a lawyer and BJP supporter, says India's Muslims deserve to be treated with some suspicion.
They want to Islamize the whole country by force, and India is against that.
Most of India's Muslims say they do not want to Islamicize the country, but some clearly do. The Nizamuddin Mosque in New Delhi attracts the most devout of India's Muslims, people like Muhammad Tashar Ali, a bearded young man wearing a white Muslim skullcap. He says it is every Muslim's duty to spread the word of the Quran.
Hopefully by the end, the whole world will be Muslims. It's our right, it's our duty to preach that. There are no terrorists in Islam amongst the Muslim community. We are just fighting for our own rights, and there's nothing wrong in doing that.
Technically, India's Muslims enjoy the same rights and privileges as the Hindu majority. But visit any Muslim neighborhood and the disparity becomes instantly clear. This neighborhood in southern New Delhi is poor even by Indian standards. Wild pigs and stray dogs rummage through the uncollected trash. Open sewers spew a foul stench into the air. Yet real estate prices here have gone up recently as more and more of India's Muslims seek the relative safety of enclaves like this one. Muslim activist Saeed Shahabuddin says he doesn't like this kind of voluntary segregation, but after the recent bloodshed in the state of Gujarat, he says, India's Muslims have no other choice.
When you are being butchered like cats and dogs or ants and gnats. What shall you do? My heart wept. I'm not for segregation. And yet, in where a woman told me, how can I go back to that place where 10 members of my family were burnt alive before my own eyes? How can I go and live there? Can you? So, ghettoization becomes, shall I say, a social imperative, becomes an inevitable need for survival.
Shahabuddin says the survival of something else is also at stake, India's status as the largest secular democracy in the world. Eric Weiner, NPR News, New Delhi.